that we have a supernatural hope. It's not just a hope like many people have in the world, but we have a supernatural hope in Christ Jesus. And God can go beyond the natural laws of man. And we have the right to believe God for and have our faith out to believe God for Him to do that. Now, first of all, the law is natural. We have to realize that. There are natural laws, and the law that we know, the curse of the law, even laws of man, are natural. You have laws of this earth, like gravity. You have the law of lift that supersedes the law of gravity. We have laws. But then there's faith. And the law is the natural. Well, the faith is the supernatural. And faith overcomes the law, is greater than the law. And so we can see the supernatural over the natural. Faith is greater than the law. We saw that Jesus was able to walk on water. How did He do that? You can't do that in the natural. But you can do that in the supernatural. You can do that by faith. And that's what Jesus showed us in His life. And we see it all through the Bible. The supernatural, as I've heard said many times, is God's super on your natural. And super means an extreme degree beyond the natural. And all things are possible in the supernatural. Natural means normal, earthly, earthbound. Praise God, we're not earthbound. Amen? We have a super nature. As born-again Christians, we are not only human. Some people say, well, I'm only human. Well, no, you're not. If you're a Christian, you're born again, you have a super side of you. And the earth, the world did not think of Superman before God did. God came up with the concept of Superman. So why the supernatural? Why are we talking about that tonight? Because to be born again, you have to believe in the supernatural. If you're going to be born again, to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, then came back from the dead, then ascended into heaven, that's not natural. Amen? How many of y'all believe that that actually happened for you? That Jesus died on the cross, He was buried, rose again, and ascended into heaven, that's supernatural. You have to believe that in order to be born again. So we're going to talk about seven supernatural peas tonight. We hope you like peas because that's what we're having for dinner. Hallelujah. Seven supernatural peas. The first one is God's supernatural plan. The plan is the first supernatural pea we're having tonight. God's plan, His supernatural plan. We refer to salvation as the plan of salvation. But God's plan for you is supernatural. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, remember, Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's what Timothy was saying. Remember this, that He was raised from the dead. 2 Timothy 2:8. Then Romans 8:11 says, but the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So a lot of people believe that, yeah, I believe Jesus rose from the dead, but do you believe that you can raise from the dead, that you will see a resurrection, that that same Spirit that quickened and made alive Jesus' body can make your mortal body alive? See, a lot of people think, well, no, He's talking about our supernatural, our bodies in heaven, but yet He said, not your immortal bodies, but He said, will quicken and make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So we see that we can claim healing under the Word of God according to Scripture. And the fact that Jesus came back from the dead, we can claim that for our own physical bodies. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we see the natural, which is our might and our power. You ask, can I make it in the natural? You might. You might. Because it's all by your might and your power. But in the supernatural, it's by His Spirit, by the Spirit of God. And therefore, in the Spirit, you will make it. It's guaranteed. It's a promise from God. So don't let the world press you into the mold of carnal mindedness. Earthly limitations and liabilities. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word, when it says conform, means to be pressed into the mold. And this world is pressed into the mold of carnal, earthly, earthbound, limited thinking. We can't be that way as Christians. Most city leaders are carnally minded. They think after the natural. We see that 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. It's the story of the great famine. They were actually under siege. This city was under siege. And there were four lepers that went out and said, well, why do we sit here until we die? Everybody else was locked up in the city. It was so bad in there. People were starving to death. And the leper said, why sit we here till we die? We might as well go to the enemy and see if they'll have mercy on us, maybe feed us something. We're going to die anyway. So as they took off walking, the Bible says that those four leprous men, God made the sound of their feet sound like an army. It was supernatural amplification. And it scared the enemy so bad they took off running. Well, before that happened, we see in the Bible where the man of God said, listen, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much food, you won't even know what to do with it. And the civic leader of that, the king's right-hand man, the city council said, man, unless God, even if God opened up windows in heaven, this couldn't happen. That's ridiculous. It's crazy. That's impossible. And you know what? He was told, you will see it, but you'll not eat of it. So if you know the rest of the story, what happened was as those leprous men went walking that next day as they go out, all the enemy was gone. They had left food on the table. All the plunder, all the spoils from all the other cities that they had taken was right there outside their gates as the people are inside starving. And the leprous men came upon it and said, man, we got to go back and tell everybody about this lest something worse happen to us. So they went back and told, and sure enough, the guy who said that's impossible, his job that day was to watch the gate. He was the gatekeeper. And just like on Black Friday at Walmart, when people heard there was food out there, they stampeded through that gate and trampled that guy to death. And so the prophecy was fulfilled. He did not believe in the supernatural, and it cost him his life. And he saw it, but he did not eat of it. So don't doubt God's supernatural. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So don't be carnally minded. Don't think that just because a doctor says there's no hope for you, that there's no hope. No, there is a supernatural hope. There may be no hope in the natural for you, but there is in the supernatural. Man may have said there's no way, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Most financial advisors are carnally minded. Yet, in Genesis 26:12, it says that Isaac sowed during a time of famine and reaped 100-fold. That wouldn't be the financially wise thing to do. But yet he believed in the supernatural, reaped 100-fold what he sowed. It was a great harvest. Most plumbers are carnally minded. In Exodus 17:6, God made water come out of a rock. That's impossible. A plumber would tell you there's no way. You can make water just come out of a rock. Most lumberjacks are carnally minded. Elisha, he made an axe head float. In 2 Kings 6:5, they needed a cabin. The sons of the prophets needed a cabin. They said, let's go down. So they went down to the river and were chopping down the trees right by the river where they grow big and strong and the trees they needed. And as he was using this axe he borrowed, the axe head flew off and fell off into the river. Again, these are natural cases. These are natural people. We say, well, but God doesn't mean for the supernatural to happen in our everyday lives. Yes, He does. And you can claim it, and you can believe it, you can receive it. Well, as he was hitting that tree, the Bible says that the axe head flew off and flew into the river. Well, if you've ever been down to the river, especially when it was up flooding or it was up high, you know if you were to try to find an axe head in that, it'd be impossible. So he went to the man of God and said, "Oh no, I borrowed that axe. I'm in trouble." And he said, "Where did it fall in?" And he showed him the place. And we see where Elisha took a stick and threw it in there. And when he threw the stick in, all of a sudden, the axe head floated. And he said, "There it is, grab it." The man grabbed it. That's impossible in the natural. It defies all laws of nature. But yet, doesn't salvation? It does. They were just naturally building a cabin. And I've often wondered, why didn't Elisha supernaturally just make the cabin? If he can make an axe head swim, surely he could just say, poof, there's a cabin. You wouldn't have to do anything. But I've seen many times that God expects you to do what you can do in the natural, and then he'll do what you can't do in the supernatural. Amen? And so it doesn't mean that we just go around like magicians just saying, poof, there it is, poof, there it is. The Bible says the Lord works with us. And so God expects us to do our part. He does his part. But as you'll see, if you haven't already in life, you come across times in life when you're at your wit's end. In the natural, there's no hope. Well, that's when you can trust and rely on God to do the supernatural in your case. Most mechanics are naturally carnally minded. You know, you say, well, the piece is broken. Really, what's the difference between a doctor and a mechanic if you think about it? They're vessels, except this is organic. This grows. God created this. And these other things are man-made. But mechanics will tell you if it's broken, it's broken. There's nothing you can do about it. But yet, you can believe God for the supernatural. In Exodus 14, 25, the Bible says that God took the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots while they were rolling. That's a pretty good mechanic. He made all their wheels fall off. You say God doesn't intervene in the affairs of man and natural things? Yes, he does. I had a car one time that I've had many cars that were needed supernatural help. And this one car was so bad, I couldn't get it out of the garage. I had a mechanic come look at it. He came to my house, goes in my garage, looks at my car and everything, and basically, like a bad doctor's report, said, "There's no hope. There's nothing I can do for this car." He said, "Seriously, I cannot fix this car." So I had a dilemma. And I just started praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, leaning into the supernatural side of life, you know? Sometimes when you don't know what to do, you lean into the one who knows what to do, who knows everything, who knows all things. So I started praying, and the Lord showed me what to do. I went and got the part that I needed, came back and brought it. I drew a picture, a schematic of what it should look like, just by the Spirit. And I took it to somebody and said, "What is this?" And they said, "I can tell you what that is. That's what this is." So I went and got it, went and brought it back. There were all these hoses and tubes and everything to it. One of those foreign vehicles that you just look at and you think, man, what? You need a computer degree to understand it. And I went and put it in there, and it fixed the car, and it was fine. Supernatural. Deuteronomy 29:5, Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. He said, "I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and your shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot." Your shoes haven't worn out. Your clothes haven't worn out for 40 years. That's supernatural. Praise God. Wouldn't that be awesome if your kids' clothes would just last 1 year? Much less 40? You know how kids are. always chewing on their clothes. I don't know what it is about my kids. Sometimes I think Samuel's more like a puppy. He'll chew holes in his shirt. I'm thinking, what are you thinking? Why would you chew a hole in your shirt? I don't know. You know how kids are, getting grass stains and they wear the knees out because they just love to run and slide on their knees, and they're wearing out shoes and outgrowing them and all these things. And yet, the Bible says for 40 years their clothes and their shoes didn't wear out. That's supernatural. I'm claiming that for my household in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, help my stuff to last longer. You know, most fishermen are carnally minded. Again, we're talking about natural things that you would do on a daily basis, not some real supernatural thing. But just fishing. Luke chapter 5, Peter and his crew had fished all night and they caught nothing. They got skunked. I don't like that. I don't like going fishing and getting skunked. I mean, I'll catch a perch or a minnow before I'll go home just to say I caught something. But here they had fished all night and caught nothing. And then again, in John chapter 21, they had also fished and caught nothing. And in both times, Jesus showed up the first time and he said, let out your net. And he said, man, we've worked all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll go ahead and do it. And he caught a great catch of fish so big, they couldn't even contain it. It was more than their boat could contain and more than their partners could contain, so that all their boats started to sink. I've often wondered about that. Were those fish like multiplying in the boats? Think about it. Have you ever seen one net load of fish that would sink several boats? I never have. The only way I could figure that would happen would be if they were multiplying in the boat. Jesus did it with dead fish that were cooked and loaves, didn't he? The five fish, the three fish and the five loaves. Those multiplied. They were multiplying so fast in that boat, I think they were having to chunk fish out of the boat just to get back. It got to a point of just survival at that point. But that's how God can bless you when it gets into supernatural things, the supernatural side of life. And God can do things that, again, man would say, there's no way. I remember fishing with my dad one time. I was about 10 years old. We were fishing on Squaw Creek Lake, and it was before the nuclear plant was active. Those of you that fish know about that. The water was clear as a bell. We were fishing, and we had heard there were walleye in that lake, and Dad wanted to catch walleye, and he was using all his lures and everything, and he was bass fishing, and we had caught nothing. And I was getting to the point at 10 years old where I was bored, so I was just sitting there just kind of jigging my pole over the side of the boat, watching my little worm swim. I had a little plastic worm. I was bored as could be. And so I just asked my dad, I said, hey, Dad, will a walleye eat a plastic worm? And he said, no, I don't think so, son. I don't think you're gonna catch a walleye with a plastic worm. Boom! I pull it up, and there's a walleye on the end of my line. The second after he said, no, it won't happen. I said, look at this. The only fish we caught the whole day. I said, looky there. It's a walleye. Dad was shocked. How could that happen? With God, I think it was God just showing me, hey, listen, Daniel. With man, it's impossible. They may tell you no. But with me, it's possible. Trust me, and it's possible. Even your dad, who I admired and respect and I loved, and I honored what he said, yet God was saying, even him, trust my word over his. That with God, all things are possible. I said, wow, that's good. I'm going to grab hold of that. With God, it's possible. Most chefs are carnally minded. I don't know if Gerard's here or not tonight. Sorry, Gerard. He's a professional chef. But most chefs are carnally minded. 1 Kings 17:12. A Shunammite woman. There was a famine in the land again. Here comes Elijah, shows up, asks the lady for some food. She said, "As the Lord thy God live, I promise, sir, I have only a cake and a handful of meal and a barrel, a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks so that I can go in, dress it for me and my son so that we'll eat it and die." And Elijah said, "Put God first and see what happens. Make a cake for me first and then make one." Well, there would be nothing left. Come on, really? And the natural, as a chef, you would say, "This is all we got. It's not going to be enough for you and us both." He said, "Put me first and see what happens." Not that Elijah needed to come first, but God. It's the principle of putting God first when you don't have enough for yourself. It takes faith. It takes walking in the supernatural realm to do that. But that's what God honors, and that's where God lives, is in the supernatural realm of faith. The reason a lot of people don't see God, they don't see the supernatural, they don't see these things, is because they never step out in faith. They stay in their carnal, natural mind. We can't do that. We've got to get into the spirit and the realm of faith. So she went ahead and did it and said, "What have I got to lose? We only have one meal anyway." So she makes that for him. And the next thing she knows, whoa, there's still some meal in there. There's still some oil. And she poured it out, made another little cake. Well, there's some more. So she poured that out, made another little cake. And so on, and fed her and her whole household for over a year. That is supernatural. It doesn't happen in the natural. But you can believe God for that. Elisha, in 2 Kings 4:39, there was some poisonous soup somebody had put some poisonous gourds into without realizing it and made a whole pot of poisonous soup. And he made it whole by just adding a little bit of flour to it. Well, a chef knows if you put flour in poisonous soup, it does not make it non-poisonous. Might make it taste a little better, but it's still going to be poisonous. But didn't Jesus say, and I'm not telling people to eat poisonous food, but if you had to, it would be good to know the scripture. In Mark 16:18, Jesus said, "They shall take up," meaning talking about believers, "they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." I've had people threaten to poison my food before. As a Christian, I'd have to say I'm probably one of the most persecuted groups in the United States as a Christian, as a believer. I've had people threaten to shoot me because I was a Christian. I had a cook one time where I worked at a restaurant tell me he would poison my food that he was cooking for me. I said, "Go ahead. The Bible says I can drink any deadly thing. It will not harm me." I don't know if he did or not. But I wasn't worried about it. But I've been threatened to be shot, poisoned. I was written up. A friend of ours, while soul winning, got chased by a crowbar. Somebody chased him off with a crowbar. Accused, cussed out. I even had somebody try to lick me one time while trying to lead people to the Lord. I said, "What?" He leaned forward to it, and I kind of dodged it as he came at me with his tongue. I said, "Well, are you okay, man?" He said, "Yeah, I was just trying to lick you." That was supernatural, but in the wrong way. That just wasn't natural. But that was the demonic supernatural. Most survivalists are carnally minded. Paul was bitten by a venomous snake. Acts 28:3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. That snake bit him in the hand, poisonous. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live." They said, "This guy must be bad news, because here justice is being served. He just got bit by a poisonous snake. He's going to die." And so Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, past the natural time that he should have died, saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Because it was supernatural. He was just getting sticks for the fire. Come on. Again, not anything that's that amazing. We're glad to have Ashley's mom and her grandmother here tonight. Thank you guys for coming. We love you and honor you guys. I had taken a friend of mine out. They have some land out west and took it out there in the country. And it took a friend of mine hunting out there. And as we were hunting, we pulled up on this trail and stopped the car, which normally I just stopped further ahead, but I just stopped right where I was for some reason, turned off the car. It was still dark. The sun was about to come up. We put it in park, and I started to get my stuff together to get out of the car. And my friend said, "Hey, let's pray before we go." I said, "Hey, that's a good idea. I never thought to pray before I hunted." So I said, "Okay, well, let's pray." So he was praying, "Lord, give us dominion over the animals. Give us a memorable hunt. Give us a good hunt. Lord, keep us safe from all harm." And so we finished. As soon as we finished praying, there was just enough daylight to see. He opens the door. I open the door. I get on my side. He gets out on his side and shuts the door. He was from New Jersey. Had never seen a poisonous snake, ever. And I had been warning about, watch out for copperheads, because they're out here. And he leans over to me on the other side of the car and said, "Hey, Dan, look. It's a copperhead." I said, "What? What are you?" I come around the car, and he is standing literally from me to this post right here to a diamondback rattlesnake coiled up as facing his leg. If I had pulled 6 more inches, he would have put his foot right on it. Literally, 6 inches. And that thing was over 4 feet long. He's standing there looking at it. He goes, "Can I shoot him?" I said, "Get back." He had his pistol and was going to shoot it with his pistol. I said, "Take the shotgun. You don't want to miss." So he took the shotgun, and I'm telling you, when he shot that thing, I've never seen this in my life. When he shot that snake, it blew up so high, it flew 30 feet in the air over a tree 30 feet away. I've never seen that. I mean, we had to go look for that snake. And I said, "Well, you got your prayer answered. We'll never forget this hunt." It's definitely a memorable hunt. So I could go on and on about how God works supernaturally, not only in the Bible, but also today. Things and instances like that, that were just, boy, wasn't that a coincidence? I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God incidents. Amen? I believe that there are things that God sets up, and that angels protect us and keep us, lest we dash our foot against a stone, or lest we step on a rattlesnake, or praise God. I could tell you the story about John Costa, the man that was here on this very stage, who had a stroke that paralyzed him for 11 months. He was paralyzed until he came here. Long story, I don't have time to tell the whole testimony, but it's worth hearing. And then started going out soul winning. God touched him, everything. The guy had had a brain tumor. They had to give him chemo to get rid of that. The guy had had a stroke, was paralyzed for 11 months, had painful shock therapy to get him to where he could walk again. Then came here, started soul winning. Praise God, everything was great. And he was living the supernatural life. And then we get a phone call. He had a stroke again. Was in the hospital. And he had a heart attack. That's right, Charles. That guy's been through it. But he had another stroke. And long story short, God healed him within three days, he was completely healed, was able, in fact, Troy had to sit on the guy's bed so the alarm wouldn't go off, but he was up walking around his room. The nurse brought in a walker to see if he might try standing up, and she said, I wanted to see if you might want to try using this today. He grabs it out of her hand, puts it over his head, and says, ain't God good? And then the doctor says, you can't go anywhere. He wanted to leave. The doctor said, you are not going anywhere, my friend. And he dropped and did 15 push-ups right there. And the doctor said, oh, we have seen a notable miracle. So they had to rescan his brain. They said, wait a second, we got to see what's going on here in your brain. This is strange. So they rescanned his brain. And they found that the infarction, the black spot from his brain from the previous stroke, plus the scar tissue from the tumor that he had, chemo, all that, plus the stroke that he had had just then, was all healed. And all the doctor could say was, when he's looking at the scan, was, it looks like you just came out of your mother's womb. How's this possible? In the natural, it's not possible. I'm telling you, I am a believer, but I wouldn't have believed it unless I had been there. In fact, the nurse in the emergency room, as I was there praying with John, the nurse said, I was here from him the last time when he was here. I said, really? So you can verify what he's telling me is true? He said, yes. That was no accident either. Then he got his whole hospital $50,000 bill paid. Then somebody in the church just happened to stand up and say, hey, I want to pay for you to go to Bible college 2 years. And I tell people all the time, the greater miracle than all of that was that John went through Bible college for 2 years. He stayed and graduated Bible college. That was a miracle. Isaiah, you know how that can be. Getting guys to stay in one spot for that long and to finish the program and to finish what they started, that's a greater miracle sometimes than somebody being healed of a stroke. And he did. He was completely healed, then graduated Bible college. Now he's working in ministry. Some people ask me every once in a while, what happened to John? Where is he? He's working in ministry feeding homeless people. Isn't that cool? Like he was. So praise God. I once snowboarded with a friend of mine, Andrew Womack's son, Peter. We snowboarded together, and that guy had been dead and came back from the dead. I snowboarded with the guy. I asked him while we were on the lift, did this really happen? What was it like being dead? I've never asked anybody that before. So what was it like when you were dead? He woke up in the morgue with a toe tag on. That's pretty dead. But yet God raised him from the dead. Andrew Womack said, as Pastor Bob has said many times, the first thing arose in his spirit was what Pastor has said many times, the first report is not the last report. And see, that's what this is all about, supernatural hope. So that the first report of man is not the last report with God. Amen? So we see the supernatural plan. We see the supernatural purpose. The second piece, supernatural purpose. You can't be normal and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have a supernatural purpose. 1 Samuel 17:29 talks about David as he was going to fight Goliath. He needed a supernatural purpose, and he had one. Pastor Bob calls it the secret power of a cause. He's got a book called that. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you to get it, read it, and I won't go over all this because I couldn't preach it as good as his book is. But David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason for me to be here? Isn't there a reason for this to happen? Shouldn't this happen because this guy, this Goliath giant, has defied the armies of the Lord? I'm taking him down today. He had a cause. There's a supernatural purpose for your life. Don't just live in the natural. Number three, a supernatural promise. We have a supernatural promise. The promises of Abraham are ours. They belong to you. What God promised Abraham, when you get a hold of it, it'll change your life. He promised Abraham, to him and his seed, he promised him supernatural blessing. Matthew 1:1 says, the book of generation of Jesus Christ. So we see Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So we see Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Look at Galatians 3:16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as if many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So what he's saying here in Galatians, Paul is saying, when he made the promise to Abraham and his seed, it wasn't saying to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. He said, I'm making the promise to you and your seed, Jesus Christ, singular. And whosoever will be in Christ or believe in him is an heir of the promises of Abraham. That's awesome. So that means that those that are Jews are not only those in the natural that are born Jews, but those that are born supernatural by faith. By faith, you are spiritually Jews. And the blessing of the Jew is on you. Look at the person next to you. Say, the blessing of the Jew is on you. Look at this. Galatians 3:29 says, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise. Now, one reason I started studying this, I'm just going to touch this briefly. I preached recently a message called Signs of God's Promise, where God started showing me this, and God spoke like the same things he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to me. Richard, are you about ready over there? I was sitting at home. We just recently bought a new house, and I was sitting on our back porch. And as I looked up, I saw this picture of my house. As I'm sitting there, I see the Big Dipper. And the Big Dipper, if you've ever seen it, you can recognize it pretty easily. In fact, it's one of the only constellations, not even a constellation really, one of the only things in the stars I can see. Oh, there's the Big Dipper, and there's the Little Dipper. Well, the Big Dipper was poured out. It was the springtime, and it looked like it was poured out over my house. Do we have that picture of the house? And I don't know if you can see this on the screen or not. I guess it's not real vivid. You can't really see it. But over my house, there's the picture of the Big Dipper and the stars that are just pouring out on top of the house. I don't know. Maybe we can turn the lights down where they can see. They're wanting to see that. If you turn it down low enough... Can y'all see that yet? I don't know. My eyes are trying to adjust. You might have to look if you go to Facebook, you can see it. You can't see it on our screens. You can see it. Good. Thank you, Cody. He sees it with the eye of faith. But there was a Big Dipper pouring out on my house, and I said, oh, isn't that funny? Just as a joke, I said, hey, it's pouring blessings on our house. And God said, that's not a joke. It was one of those moments where I was like, whoa, what do you mean? I am pouring blessings out on your house. And I said, really? And that is a sign from the Lord. And I said, okay. So I started looking into it. And as I looked into it, I realized that the Big Dipper always pours into the Little Dipper. And the Little Dipper pours into the Big Dipper. And then I started thinking about Malachi 3:10, where God said, prove me now herewith and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not even room enough for you to contain. He was talking about the tithe. And didn't Abraham go and pay tithe? Go ahead and put that picture back up, Richard. Didn't Abraham pay tithe to Melchizedek? Well, as you can see, the Big Dipper points, if you take those lines at the end of the Big Dipper, it always points to that little star right there by the Little Dipper, which is Polaris, the constant star. That star always stays the same because as the earth is spinning, all those stars are spinning except for that one star right there in the Little Dipper. Everything revolves around that so that as the seasons go, they're always pouring in one into the other. And every night they pour into each other. And sometimes it's up in the fall, in the spring, in the summer. You'll see right now, with its summer, it's different. But as you can see, the Big Dipper always pours in the Little Dipper. So then I got to look in and I realized, in studying this, there's only one constellation that comes between the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. You know what that is? Let's show that one. Show that slide. The only one that comes between the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper which if we can show that slide, is the dragon or the snake. Isn't that interesting? I thought, wow, what are the odds of that? Again, I don't think it's a coincidence. But I think even in the stars, God was trying to show you that, hey, I'm going to pour you out of blessings that there's you don't even have room enough to contain. And the devil's going to come in between and try to stop it. He's going to try to separate that. But he can't. Amen? He can't. Romans 4:13 says, for the promise which he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law or through the natural, but through the righteousness of faith, the supernatural. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. But it's by faith, it's by grace through faith that we see. And look in verse 21, Romans 4. It says, being fully persuaded, Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, God was able to perform. And that's what you that's what's really changed in me lately, is that now I am fully persuaded that what God has shown me and what he's promised me, he will perform it. Now, it's a shame I had to wait for God to show me that in the stars before I believed his word that already said it. But that actually caused me to get into his word and say, wait a second, I believe this. I'm standing for this. I'm believing there's supernatural hope for me and for my life. Number four, we're getting close to the end. Supernatural protection. God has supernatural protection for you. Supernatural protection. Amen. He has a supernatural plan, supernatural purpose, supernatural promise. He's got supernatural protection. Remember Paul, like he was bitten by the snake, but even more than that, 2 Corinthians 11:23 says, are they ministers of Christ? He said, I am more, in labors more abundant. He worked harder than anyone else. In stripes above measure, he was beaten so many times, in prison more frequent, in deaths often. He was in deaths often. I don't know if we live that kind of life. Of the Jews, he was five times he received 40 stripes, save one. He was beaten like Jesus was. You know, when he got 39 stripes, Paul got 39 stripes five times. Think about that. And he lived. That's supernatural. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Three times. Once I was stoned. He wasn't talking about dope either. He was stoned, and whether in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell. He might have been out of the body for a while, but he got up after it was over, dust off the rocks and the dust, and walked away. Three times he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day he was in the deep. That's supernatural protection. And you would say, well, it doesn't sound like he was very protected if he went through all that. Well, the fact is not that God delivered him from those things, but he delivered him through those things. Amen? Then there's supernatural. Number five, supernatural preparation, where God prepares things supernaturally. Your life is prepared for you. He has a good, according to Ephesians 2:10, he has a good life for you prepared from the foundation of the world. He's already prepared that you should do good works. He has a good life prepared for you. He prepared for Jonah. The Bible says that he prepared a whale that came and swallowed him and saved him. Then he prepared a gourd to grow up and to shade Jonah. Then he prepared a worm that came and ate the shade. Isaac needed a wife, and an angel was sent to prepare the way, and he got Rebekah. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Supernatural conception. Again, immaculate conception. It's not natural, the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. But the Bible says that whenever Mary said, hey, how's it going to Elizabeth, that John the Baptist leaped inside her womb. And she said, oh, my, the baby in my womb, 6 months old, just leaped. That's supernatural. When he heard the voice of Mary. And then remember how John the Baptist, his dad, couldn't speak until he was born, and he said, his name shall be John. That's supernatural. An angel appeared to him. So you think your kids' names aren't important? I would be listening to the Lord, saying, Lord, what do you want me to name my child? Might have a hard time changing it now if they're grown up. But listen to the Lord. He could not name him anything. They said, but there's nobody in your family named John. You always name him Junior, you know. Zacharias Junior. And he said nothing. Until he was born, and then he wrote down, his name shall be John. And when he said that, boom, he could talk. There's something supernatural about life. But you've got to believe it. You think God doesn't have a supernatural plan for you, if, for instance, this may be the last generation before his return? That there may be something supernatural of your time, of your life right now, if you'll believe God for it, if you'll stand up and do something about it, and live a supernatural life rather than just living carnally all the time? We see with Jesus, God had a donkey that was prepared, that nobody had ridden before, was prepared for him. The Last Supper was prepared. There was a guy walking with a pot on his head into a room, and Jesus told his disciples, go into town, see the guy with the pot on his head. When he goes into a room, that's where I want you to go. That's where he'll be prepared. Tell him, hey, the master needs this place for the Last Supper. It was prepared. There was a cross that was prepared. The fact Jesus died on a tree, the cross. He died on a cross of wood. A crown of thorns was prepared for him that was put on his head. Yet in Genesis 3:18, we see that thorns are a part of the natural curse of man. When Adam and Eve sinned, God had to tell them, hey, you've been living in this great garden, but I hate to tell you now, because you disobeyed and I told you this would happen. You ate of the fruit. Now instead of living in the Garden of Eden, it's going to be thorns and thistles for you. And yet that crown of thorns, part of that curse, was put on Jesus' head, and he bare that for us. I don't have time to go in anymore because it's late, but just to give you the next supernatural piece. Number 6, supernatural provision. God wants to provide. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And when you don't have enough or you don't have what it takes, God can provide for you what you need. Last one, 7, is supernatural peace. The Bible says it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that the world knows not of. It's the hope and a peace. The Bible calls God the God of peace. The world doesn't truly know peace like we do, but when you tap into supernatural, you can have times where everything is going crazy. It's all nuts around you. And yet, like Jesus, in the middle of a storm where the boat is sinking, he is sleeping in heavenly peace. And you may say, you don't understand what I'm going through. Was it worse than Paul? No. And yet he had peace. Was it worse than Peter, who was about to be killed, the next day was chained up in between two soldiers, and yet he was asleep. The angel came to deliver him, had to wake him up. Wake up. He's like, ooh. Let's get out of it. The chains fell off. That was supernatural. He walks, the guards are just standing there. They don't see him. He walks out. The Bible says Peter walks to the gate that was barred, and it opened on its own accord by itself. And he just walked through, and it shut behind him. And then he came to himself and realized this was real. This really happened. God gives us perfect peace as we keep our mind stayed on, fixed on him. That's the challenge many times, is keeping our minds stayed on him and thinking about him and not getting distracted by the wind and the waves. Remember how Peter started to sink and he got out of peace when he got his eyes off the Prince of Peace. And he started looking at the storm. And there are some storms in this nation right now. But let me tell you, I'm telling you, they are nothing compared to what's coming when it comes to storms. And it would be real easy to get out of peace. But we can stay in it if we just focus on Him. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We think on those things. Praise God. When, like Charlie has said many times, when he was in so much debt, he used to calculate his debt, and he would just be so focused on it because it was such a present problem. And it was always staring him in the face. And he could never be free from it. And it caused turmoil in his heart. It kept him out of peace. There are times whenever you've got something that you're staring at, you're looking at, and it's got you out of peace because in the natural, it looks bad. It looks like it's going to be bad. But you can look in the supernatural. Sometimes you just have to close your eyes. Just close your eyes right now. A lot of times, that's why we do that. We close our eyes many times just to get our eyes off of what we're seeing. But the Bible says the just will walk by faith, not by sight. I want you to just think about whatever impossible situation is in your life right now. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's somebody that you would say, there's no way that's possible in the natural. But you say, with God, all things are possible. Lean into the supernatural side of the Spirit. Don't try to do it in your own might, your own strength, but let God transfigure it out for you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Did y'all get anything out of this tonight? Anything that'll bless you? Anything that'll help you? Tell you what, this book is supernatural. I want to encourage you, take it with you everywhere you go. Read it. Carry it openly. I saw a guy the other day. Another guy was carrying... Texas, you can open carry. He had a sidearm. And a guy said, hey, thanks for carrying. And I thought to myself, next time I see somebody with a Bible, I'm going to tell him, thanks for carrying. You can open carry. You can carry it, but you need to open it. Doesn't do any good if you don't open it. Amen. Open this. It's a supernatural book. Live it. Don't just read it. You got to open it, read it, and then live it. I want to read the book of Jim. I want to read the book of Tony. The book of Scott. The book of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 2. Second Isaiah. There you go. We got 1st Isaiah and 2nd Isaiah. Amen. We got the book of 2nd Daniel right here. Being written. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, let this word have far-reaching results. Lord, let this word stick with us. May we never forget it. God, in that moment especially when we need it the most, bring this to these people's remembrance. Bring it to my remembrance. The promises you've told me, God. Help me to stand on him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.